Please be seated. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. These words from Psalm 51, verse 16, which are also in the morning prayer and meditatory, state what I am sure is the intent of anyone speaking from this pulpit. I have been blessed to have listened to many sermons that have moved me to love our Lord Jesus Christ more fervently. The sermons of Father Matthew and Deacon Bob are wonderfully inspirational. I follow in great footsteps. In a moment, I will offer a few words of reflection on the scripture reading from Luke that we heard tonight. But first, I wish to present a brief introduction. The words to follow that are fixed in my mind, these are words that are fixed in my mind that I feel I must share. First, I made a promise to myself that I would not reminisce in these remarks. I know that I have sometimes recalled too frequently earlier events in my journey of faith. Not that there is anything inherently wrong in remembering the past. Today's me is a product of my past, but in my experience, there is always something new about the Christian message. I listen to a sermon, read a passage from Scripture, or a meditation from the forward booklet, and then I have a wow experience of a new insight jumps out. And I am reawakened to the awesomeness of God's love and mercy and the significance of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in preparing for these remarks, I found that the answer to my prayer for guidance and insight was a torrent of words and images, which required the task of sorting them through and organizing them. To identify the presence of Jesus in my life and in the world is exciting, and it is an experience that needs to be shared. The question then may come, why am I speaking? Why not Father Matthew or Deacon Bob? I am here because Father Matthew understands that each of us has a story, and we can only, and obviously a unique story, that only you can tell. It comes from a life living that is obedient to God's will for us and Jesus' call to serve. The sharing of your story may not occur here in the pulpit, but it can be shared in company with other Christians. I have found that for me, the sharing of faith stories can best occur in a small group. And there will be groups organized this coming summer, and we'll meet in the fall. And I would hope some of you would get thought to participate in. In addition, at the Wednesday morning Eucharist healing service, we take time to discuss the readings of the day. The interchange of thoughts, reflections, and questions is a rewarding experience. And I'd just like to comment that from a reading last Wednesday, a phrase from a verse from a reading from the first letter of Peter jumped out at me. It says, "Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God." Now, Peter was speaking to a group of Christians that church is not specifically identified. He calls them God's chosen people. And of course, from that, you well know how it's been converted to the Episcopalians as God's chosen people. Thankfully, I feel this congregation, and you especially, and all my friends, bring great warmth, so frozen doesn't really apply. But in any event, I was thinking about the words and how words of the scripture can bring such comfort and such joy. And out of that, I put these words together. In the final letter of Peter, he instructs the following followers of our Lord, who he, as I just mentioned, calls the chosen people. One of the instructions is to speak with gentleness, to not use insulting language, And I was thinking and reflecting upon that, how today's language is so much less charitable, so much less Christian. We see it in the media, we see it in the movies, we hear it in TV. And where is the gentleness in the political rhetoric? It's today's world demands Christ, a call to Christ, and a recognition that he can change things. I was thinking too of the servant girl in the garden when she recognizes Peter and he renounces Christ three times. She says, "I know him by how he speaks." That in itself is an admonition, isn't it? He spoke in the tone and tenor and words of his Lord. So if we do the same, we will be known as Christians. This morning's reading, and I'm making transition now, this morning's reading from Luke includes both an introduction to what we know as the Lord's Prayer and the well-known image of Jesus knocking at the door. The Lord's Prayer is seemingly uncomplicated, but it does call us to acknowledge God's awesomeness. Hallowed means holy, sacred, revered, and to forgive others as we are forgiven by God. I have too often said the Lord's Prayer without really listening to the words. There is and I remember sharing this experience with several other people in the parish, there's kind of a concordance, something that accompanies the Lord's Prayer. And each phrase of the Lord's Prayer is studied separately and as to its meaning and its implications. I've lost my sheet of that, and I would like to, perhaps it's online, I would guess. Maybe I'll have the opportunity to find that. But that was so meaningful, to be able to take the different phrases, pull out of it what the Lord is truly saying in those words. In the story of the visitor coming to the door of the household, there are two images come to mind. And by the way, there is a window, it's the fourth one from this end of the windows, which shows that image. The one we have seen many times, including the window, I remember from my Sunday school days. And as you know, besides this window, there's hundreds of other images of that very scene, which portrays Jesus as the visitor. In the window, he is knocking at the door from the outside and is standing on steps. The door does not have a handle or latch. In reading and rereading the passage, I am struck by the word persistence. Our Lord is persistent when he calls us to serve in his name. And if we ignore the knock on the door of our heart and our mind and our soul, he will nevertheless continue to knock. Jesus says that eventually the householder will open the door. When we open that door to Jesus, we have truly become his friend. And that friendship, which will result in obedience to our Lord's call, a call for a new life, is one which requires us to love one another and serve in his name. Amen.